Hello, everybody. Good morning, afternoon, evening. Whenever you are listening to this, it is June 23rd, 2020, and you are listening to Waldman's Words. My name is Emily Burke, not Scott Waldman, but Scott Waldman, Jed Fuchs, and our very, very special guest for today, Logan Crossland, will be coming on in just a second. But for right now, these are my 3 to 5 minutes to talk about whatever I want. So sorry about it. No, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So like I said, it's June 23rd. It is a Tuesday. This month is flying by. And this is just your weekly check-in. How are you? I hope you're doing very well. The past couple weeks, I kind of dedicated the beginning of these episodes to the Black Lives Matter movement and standing in solidarity with everyone who is still out there fighting. And there are still protests, peaceful protests going on every single day, no matter where you are. If you are still looking to go out there and help, please, please do. Another big thing that you could do now that a lot of the bail funds have enough money and you don't need to send any more, support Black businesses. I just want to give a shout out, and this is not sponsored, but shout out to Jess George, who is another music industry chick, who I follow on Twitter. She let me know about this, an amazing app called Black Wallet, if you're looking to find some more small Black-owned businesses and spend your money there. I actually found some really, really cute accessories, but this show is about music, so just wanted to shout that out really quick. Logan Crossland is coming on. Hi, Logan. Thank you for listening through this intro of yours. Logan is an amazing booking agent and, you know, works in the touring space. So if anyone out there was really, really curious about what it's like to work in like live music right now in the middle of a pandemic, this is an amazing episode for you to listen to. You know, Logan's been doing this for a long time, and he gave some wonderful, wonderful insight into like what everyone is maybe thinking right now and where things are going to go. And, you know, I think as people who work in the music industry, even if you're not necessarily just live music, I think overall everyone's a little confused as to what the next step is and where the world is heading and what music is going to evolve to if we can't tour like normal. So I think if you're curious about that, definitely stay tuned. You can listen to Waldman's Words every single Tuesday live, which hopefully you are doing right now, at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Or you can listen anytime that you want on Spotify, iTunes, Adobe.com, and your Amazon Alexa. So have Alexa enable Adobe Radio and listen to us on her. That was even worse somehow. I think that's my cue to leave. That and also I could hear the neighbors start leaf blowing. I think that's what it is next door, weed whacking. And I don't want you to hear that because it is a very annoying noise. I'm still in my house. We're all still quarantining. I know everything's opening up. There's a great quote going out there by the lovely Jonathan Van Ness. Just because you American doesn't mean you American should. Stay home if you can. Listen to Waldman's Words, especially this episode with Logan Crossland.
Hello, welcome to another special pandemic edition of Waldman's Words with Ms. Emily Burke, Mr. Jed Fuchs. All three of us are quarantined in several locations of Southern California, but we've got Mr. Logan Crossland of Satellite Touring, who is in Ohio, I believe. What's up, Logan?
Hey, man. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
You know, I'm stoked to have you. Are you in Ohio, or did I already screw up from the get-go?
No, we are based in Ohio, just outside Cleveland.
Well, we actually had another Logan on the show who is also in Ohio, Logan White from Substream Magazine. So you're in good company, okay, cool, Logan's cool. In Ohio.
Yeah, and we got Alt Press out here and a number of other things, so it's pretty cool.
And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but, you
Rock
know.
Roll Hall of
yeah,
Fame
I was about to say that.
I think you've had Mischko on the show a couple of times, and he's here as well. So, yep. Lots of people in Ohio.
Yep, I've had Mischko on the show. I've had Nick Moore from Invogue Records. I haven't, you know, updated my Ohio pedigree in a long time, but depending upon how well this call goes, I'm going to get it tattooed on my throat.
Hey, that sounds like a good idea to me.
Well, you know what?
Tattoos are in right now, so.
Face tattoos are in right now, you know? I haven't seen too many, like, self-quarantine prison face tattoos during this time, but, you know, it's the 90s. Let's get with it. So we're going to talk to you about your career, but I know that you must be hurting with everything that's going on because you work in the live entertainment space. So I'd love to hear, you know, what you're going through. Like, not love because I'm a freaking sadist, but I just want to hear about, you know, what your day-to-day is like right now.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, my day-to-day was, you know, booking tours all day long, and now it's, you know, it's much slower. And you know, we rescheduled a number of things for the fall. But, I mean, even that is a crapshoot. You know, some of the smaller club stuff, you know, potentially could happen, but I'm certainly not holding my breath for it. And, you know, even if it small touring is able to happen, I think it's going to turn into Reduction Central. And I don't think, you know, some of the bands are in a position to take those reductions. So, you know, it might be better to move things into 2021. You know, so just trying to get through all this. And, you know, I picked up a new hobby to help pass the time and make some money. So, you know, trying to stay busy as best I can.
Well, I like that you're being positive about it. I've had this conversation with Jed, Emily, and a number of acts that I work with where it's like a lot of people are just rescheduling just to reschedule again. And while I understand that people want to be productive and get things done, sometimes the best thing to do is just wait.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You know, I think at first, I think a lot of people were like this. You know, I don't know. I didn't think it was going to be what it is. I didn't think it was going to turn into this. I think a lot of us were kind of hoping for the best. You know, as soon as everything started happening, I seen a number of tours that were supposed to be, you know, right around this time, immediately get moved to July. You know, some in June and things like that. Obviously, that was probably not the best idea. Some of them, I think, are still kind of holding out hope, but I don't foresee that happening. So it's, you know, it's a bummer for sure, but, you know, there's really nothing we can do about it except roll with the punches.
Yeah, I think I have a feeling we're going to get more into this in the second part as well, but I kind of want to go into you and how you even got started in touring. So did you always work as an agent, or did you know that you wanted to do that, or where did you start off in music?
No, it's quite the story. So I was a promoter for a while, and I should say promoter in quotes because I was fucking terrible at it. But
you can say that about a lot of managers too. Don't worry about it, and booking agents.
Yeah. All good. Well, yay, you know,
clapping. We broke the Crossland.
Yeah, there you go. No, I, you know, I'm from like a farm town, and there's no venues because, you know, we're based right outside Cleveland, but I live, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes to an hour outside, and that's where I grew up, and there's no venues or anything like that. So, you know, when I got into promoting, I had no clue what I was doing because I'd never, you know, I'd maybe been to like one or two club shows in my life. So it was just kind of going along with it and, you know, doing so came a long road of losing money and lots of debt and things like that. So, you know, but I just kept, you know, get knocked down and get back up. You know, cue Chumbawamba.
You're Chumbawamba, dude.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, but so I did that for a while, and then I got looped in with the he was a head of A&R for North America for Napalm Records. His name's Dimitri. It's my business partner at Satellite. And Napalm has a European booking division called Napalm Events, and they wanted to expand over here for some of their smaller acts that, you know, maybe couldn't get an agent and they just needed to hit the road because they had a new release out or whatever. So we kind of started doing that for a while, and then shifted out from that. And I think it was maybe 2017, and we started Satellite, and been building ever since. But I did not get into all this thinking I was going to be an agent. That is for sure.
Well, I just want to say something quickly before that, because we went right into career, but were you born and raised in Ohio, and are you in the town Independence?
We're based in Independence, it's a suburb, but no, I'm from a small town called Worcester.
Is it spelled like Worcester, like in Massachusetts?
No, it's spelled like Worcester. That's a lot of people.
Wow.
Play
around in Ohio.
Yeah, you guys can play around. But, you know, growing up, when you did, what was the very first band that got you into music? Because obviously you're talking about, you know, eventually working at Napalm, and your agency has a lot of heavier bands. What were you really into? And you don't have to be ashamed if it's like INXS or Backstreet Boy.
No, so, you know, I really got into like 80s bands was really what kind of got me into music, because that's like what my mom would play and things like that. So, you know, there was this movie. I don't know if you're familiar with Bill and Ted. You guys know those movies, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The third one.
Yeah, I'm so stoked for the third one. But when I was a kid, when I was probably like 3 or 4, I had Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, the second one. I had it on VHS. And when you put it in, before the movie started, there was a music video from the band Slaughter. And that was like my all-time favorite band for the longest time. And I just like loved that video. And then a little after that, when I was growing up, probably about third grade, I got really, really into Nickelback.
Okay. Nickelback's awesome.
Which, you know, they really are. Everybody talks so much shit, and I get it, but I still think they're a great band. And, you know, Chad writes some amazing songs. He's a great songwriter. But, got into that. And then as I got older, you know, kind of started getting into some heavier stuff. And, a lot of the music I like is a lot of things that people shit on. But, you know, I'm really into, like, nu metal and things like that. I really love, like, the first bigger act that I ever booked as a promoter was Dope. You know, I'm a big fan of that band. And, you know, kind of going in that world a little bit. You know, I like some heavier stuff than that, too. But, you know, I'm not, like, a death metal guy or anything like that. But, you know, the past couple of years, my music tastes have certainly varied quite a bit, and, you know, or I guess expanded would be a better word, but yeah,
that's cool, man. How
I got into music. Yeah,
I think third grade is when everybody was getting into Nickelback just across the board, because that's when the age when you start realizing you're like, oh, like, there's more out there than just Radio Disney, and this shit is heavy, dude.
Exactly.
Yo, Radio Disney is heavy as fuck, dude.
Maybe nowadays. It's been a minute since I've been listening. But, Logan, I want to ask, too, did you have your moment of like, all right, I can do this. I can pick up a guitar. I can sing. You know what? I'm just going to play, man.
I sang in a bunch of really shitty local bands for a long time, and had this, you know, pipe dream of being a rock star, which I think we all did. That's why we got here. I guess like the moment of, I want to be in music forever was, I think it was like 2008. It was like a teenager. My mom took me to go see Motley Crue, and I'd been to like some smaller concerts before, but I'd never seen anything like that with all the pyro and the fireworks and, you know, strippers on stage and this and that. It was this whole production, and it was really, really cool. And that was like, you know, the light bulb going off, like, fuck, man, I gotta do this, you know?
Right, exactly. But But so you had your moment and you saw it all, and then you were like, wait a minute. So if those who can't do teach, how did you start piecing together?
Well, those who can't teach book for bands.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's the end of the set. That's right. How did you piece together the next steps? How did you go from setting the guitar down and then saying, all right, well, actually, I can, I know what I can do, and I know what I am good at, and that's making this happen. How, what were the first steps of that?
Yeah, so when I was in some local bands, there was a promoter around here, and we did a number of shows with him, and he did a bigger festival out here and things like that that we played, and I just kind of, you know, got to talking to him, I got to know him a little bit, and just kind of got really interested in the business side. And, you know, at some point I realized, well, you know what, I just don't think I'm going to be a rock star. So, you know, maybe I'll try putting shows on. And, you know, it went well, you know, early on, but, you know, like I said, I didn't, I'm not one of those guys that grew up going to shows all the time and, you know, more or less grew up in clubs. So, you didn't really know what I was doing. And I just had this assumption of, oh, well, you know, if this is a, you know, a quote unquote national act and I, you know, paying this much money, well, you know, they're big. So they're going to make, the show's going to make money no matter what. And quickly found that not to be true. And so then I, you know, started doing the agent thing and I was a lot better at that. And it suits my personality a little bit better. And, yeah, so, you know, like I said, early on, this is not what I was planning on doing, but this is how it panned out. And, you know, other than the ongoing pandemic, so far it's worked out pretty well.
I think that there are a lot of misconceptions on how much touring acts and artists make. And, I mean, there's, like, these bands you mentioned, like the Dopes of the world, the Salivas of the world, you know, the Soils, the Flaw, the any one word that showcases something gross word, you know, a lot of these bands may have really, really made a lot of money, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, but are struggling to sell out, you know, a couple hundred capacity rooms now. Can you talk about, you know, that misconception? Because people really just assume that everyone's living large, like, you know, like Lil Wayne, and that's not the case.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's not the case at all. I mean, some of those bands that you just mentioned, you know, I mean, I lost a lot of money on it. And part of that is, you know, I think some of those bands in particular, they really do oversaturate. Not to say that if they didn't oversaturate, they'd be, you know, selling out arenas or even playing, you know, theaters for that matter. But, you know, a lot of those bands just tour nonstop and, you know, it's like some of the old 80s bands that keep on touring, like they keep putting out records and this and that, but at the end of the, you know, they had their moment and, you know, people just don't fucking care anymore and put out a new record. Great. But they still want to hear, you know, whatever song that you first had when you came out. And you know, I think it's just like with anything. I mean, you know, a number of pop artists or whatever, you have a huge song and then nothing ever sticks quite like that again. You know, obviously it's a really hit or miss kind of thing, but I yeah. think oversaturation is, it plays a big role in that, especially there were two bands in particular in Ohio or that came to Ohio all the time. I won't say their names, but one is in the news constantly for Twitter feuds. So sure you can know who I'm talking about.
Gee, I wonder who.
Right, wait, right.
Is it Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah, Trump fan.
Basically, no, but,
Is it, more it Trump? Less. Get it?
Trump, there you go.
Get it?
Trump. Trump would come to Ohio like, you know, 5-6 times within 3-4 months. You know, and they're playing, you know, within an hour, 45 minutes to an hour away from each other. You know, they play Kent, and then they play Akron, and then they play Cleveland, and then they play, you know, Mansfield or whatever. And, you know, they're still playing the same songs. It's the same set list every night. And, you know, that certainly plays a big factor to me of, you know, this is why you're not drawing, you know, what you at least could be.
The resource isn't scarce enough.
Yeah, exactly. I will say, though, you know, everybody's shitting on Trapped, but I will say they have some great songs.
They have great songs.
Outside of Headstrong. Outside of Headstrong, they have some really great songs, especially early on.
They have some great songs, and he knows exactly what he's doing. I mean, he's getting the name out there, and, like, the bad press is good press, but then he ended up making some anti-Semitic comments and he completely lost me. Like, I admired his hustle for a while until he did that.
You want to hear a good Trap story?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to rename the show and then I'm going to get that Ohio tattoo.
There you go. So when I was a promoter, I booked Trapped, and it's kind of a Trap story, but it's more of a Stone Temple Pilot story, I guess. But I booked Trapped as a promoter, and the show sold out. It was probably one of the last sellouts they've had, but show sold out, and the Bion band, I can't remember their name, but the singer of the Bion band is now the singer of Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, is it Jeffrey, the one who's who is on X Factor?
Yes, that guy.
Okay.
And so at the end of the night, you know, Ohio, there's, you can't smoke inside anywhere. And at the end of the night, that guy lit up a cigarette, and the owner of the club was like, "Hey, man, you know, can't smoke. You got to put that out." And he's like, "Well, my fucking cigarette." And the club owner's like, "Well, it's my fucking venue. And I'm telling you, you can't smoke in here." So he's like, "All right." And he takes this really long drag from a cigarette and he puts it out on the carpet of the venue, right? And, like, gives him this little fucking smirk. And so he got tossed, and the security came and grabbed him, and he was carrying him out because, I mean, dude was, like, all fucked up. And he was, like, he had to get carried out, and he was, like, fidgeting around, and he banged his mouth on the corner of the bar, and there was blood everywhere. And then he bumped into the singer from Trapped and, like, had him up against a wall. And then all these cops come, and it was this whole fucking thing. And then I think that show was on, like, a Saturday. And I think by Tuesday or Wednesday, both myself and the club owner had gotten a letter from the X Factor guy. What's his name again?
Jeffrey Goot.
Yeah, him, from Jeff, from his attorney, that they were going to sue us for when he busted his mouth on the bar. So,
wow.
Yeah. And then we, you know, of course, ignored it, and and it went away. But yeah, that was quite the night.
Thanks
for rock and roll, baby.
Thanks for bringing the drama. I said before the show in the disclaimer, we don't, you know, try to be muckrakers and get the drama, but we fucking love the tea. All right, Jed, you're up.
So, Logan, actually, we are coming to the end of segment one of this show, actually, because time flies when you're telling funny stories about rock and roll. Sure. And we want to get into what you're doing now and where your career is at this point. But I wanted to ask before, were there any bands coming up that you noticed had just the it factor? Maybe not the biggest rock stars of all time, but in terms of what you were doing, had the right combination of skills and attributes that made them a great, great band for you.
Sure. I mean, you know, I think, you know, when picking up a new client, a lot of factors come into play. You know, I think you got to have a good mix, especially with where I'm at. You know, we're not UTA or CAA or anything like that. So, I think, you know, at this point, you know, we got to have a mix of some legacy acts and some, you know, I guess, for lack of a better word, more development acts. But yeah, I mean, one of the bands that really got my attention that I work with is this band called The Native Howl. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, but they're out of Detroit, and they mix bluegrass and thrash. And
blue thrash.
It is so, yeah, they call it thrash grass, and it's so great. And when I seen them live for the first time, I mean, it you know, literally gave me goosebumps. I know that sounds super cliche, but it was like unlike anything I've ever seen. And you know, that was they were a really great band. And I think when all this is done, you know, we keep on keep on building. And, you know, they're doing pretty well. They're still building up themselves. But, you know, we do an annual headliner at St. Andrew's Hall in Detroit every year that does really well. And I just had them out early this year with 96 Bitter Beings, which is Darren from CKY. It's his new band. You know, and it's just a great band, and definitely think there's a lot of opportunities for them coming when this pandemic is over.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, it doesn't sound silly that it gave you goosebumps, because as Scott will attest, that's one of his prerequisites for managing a band, is that he actually has to actually like them.
Isn't that crazy?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're not passionate about it, you're probably not going to do a really great job.
Crazy concept.
Right.
Agreed. And
then you get to work with the bands you like.
I just want to say one more thing, because we're going to wrap up segment one in a minute, but I obviously don't have any Ohio ties, but I went to school in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I would go to a lot of shows at, you know, St. Andrew's Hall. And it's really cool, the legacy of that room. I mean, just watch the movie 8 Mile.
Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but God, that's old school. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, they had a club called the Shelter attached to St. Andrews. And that's where
it's downstairs.
Sorry.
It's downstairs, I believe. Right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the smaller room, just like, as you know, being in Ohio, Peabody's had several rooms. So there you go.
Yeah, I think there was a Peabody's and Pirates Cove and Rockstar or something. You know.
Yep. Anyway, segment one, if Emily wants to sign us off.
Yeah, I mean, we're just about done. In the next segment, I want to talk about what you're doing now. I want to get a little bit more into the COVID thing, just because I think we are under very unusual circumstances, and it should be discussed a little further, especially from the point of view of someone who works very, very, very directly in the live music industry. So we're going to take a really, really quick break. I'll listen to a great song that Adobe picked out or a great ad that someone paid for, and we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Waldman's Words here on Adobe Radio. We have the legendary Logan Crossland here on the phone. Thank you so much for being on the show today, man.
Yeah, thanks again for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
First half of the show was all lighthearted, fun stories about your life in Ohio. Now we're going to ask the real heavy-hitting stuff. Buckle up.
I'm ready for it.
Okay, man. Now we're in the modern part of your career, and we've heard about some of the bands in your past that have been great for you, and then heard of some that have caused you a little bit of trouble. But tell us about, again, pre-2020, like what a normal day in the life for you is like. Like, what are some of the bands you are always working with, and what's a normal workload for you in any given week?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have a few bands that tour fairly consistently, going back to the whole nu metal thing. Crazy Town is one of those bands, frequent touring and things like that. Combi Christ, it was supposed to be a very busy year for Combi Christ, but we were going to do four separate tours. We're going to do 3 U.S. legs and then a South American run. Obviously, all of that had to get pushed back. We did move it to the fall this year. You know, whether that happens or not remains to be seen. Some of it's going to have to happen next year, I'm sure, like South America and things like that. But, you know, they're one that keeps me busy. You know, I try not to have too much on my plate, because I do have a, you know, somewhat, you have a life outside of this. I have a son that'll be 2 on Friday. So
happy birthday.
So spend a lot of time. Thank you. Actually, we share the same birthday. So
what?
I know. It's like, well, the fucking coolest thing confused. Ever.
I wasn't wishing you a happy birthday. I was wishing your son a happy birthday.
Oh yeah.
Hey, well, hey, thanks for your time, man. I'll talk to you later. But yeah, so, you know, I do that. So I got stuff going on outside of this. But, you know, we actually just brought on Alex McGinnis.
I guess in like a
junior agent kind of capacity. And he's kind of helping out with some of the smaller stuff that I have and kind of building a roster up of his own. You know, and then there's my partner, and he's got a much smaller roster because he does other things outside of all this. You know, but yeah, but a normal day for me is just, you know, routing tours and obviously securing deals. You know, the same as any agent, nothing crazy, just, you know, same old, but obviously, the days are not like that anymore, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
Well, and you say that, the normal stuff, the day in, the so-and-so, but for those listeners who are maybe a little less acclimated to this lifestyle, could you tell us a little bit more specifically what you actually do on like a day-to-day basis? How do you actually get bands on tours? How do you actually put them on stages?
Sure. So, you know, if we're doing a headline tour and I got to put the routing together, you know, use a number of different factors to put together said routing, looking at merch numbers, especially in like a support scenario. If their last tour was they were supporting somebody else, then, you know, really take a look at merch numbers, obviously previous headline numbers in those markets, things like that to put together a routing. You know, a lot of time is spent submitting acts for larger tours, which, as I'm sure you guys are well aware of, that's, you know, much harder than it sounds. There's more bands than ever, more agents than ever. So there's more competition than ever. But, you know, always trying to secure support slots and festival slots and things like that. And then, you know, the meat of the job, which is just securing deals and making sure that the act is getting taken care of. And, you know, also riding that line of making sure that the act is getting the money that they need and also not taking advantage of the promoter. Because I do, you know, I see it from that side as well, as I've been down that road. You know, and it's no fun when you got to go to the ATM at the end of the night. You know, so try to be as fair as possible with everybody, because, you know, at the end of the day, if there's no promoters because they all went out of business, then there's no agents. So, you know, that's, I guess, kind of a typical day in a life.
Well, cool. Well, Jed and I said cool and well at the same time. Well, cool. So I just have a question for you, because you have a company, and correct me if I'm wrong, are there three agents at the company?
Yeah, there's four of us. Sorry. There's four of us.
Okay. So I know that Alex is in Tennessee. Where are the other people?
So my partner is here in Ohio. Dimitri, he's in Independence, just outside Cleveland. And then we have another agent that we just brought on, and unfortunately haven't been able to really do a lot, as you know, as soon as he kind of came on board, everything happened. But he is based in Canada.
So how do you guys have workflow? I mean, I know you all each have your own clients, but how does a typical day work for you?
In terms of
just like, okay, like pretend that today, this Wednesday that we're recording, is a day where shows are happening and deals are being made. Like, how does it happen? Do you guys have much synergy, or is everyone kind of on their own?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, my partner and I talk a lot, and I talk with Alex a lot, just trying to help him out, because, you know, he's booked a lot of tours on his own, in a management capacity, but hasn't quite done it, you know, using, you know, the software and all that kind of stuff. And you know, things are a little bit differently when you, you know, are the agent as opposed to booking as a manager just to make it happen. But no, I mean, you know, everybody just kind of has their own roster, and you know, we are big into teams. So all of our workbooks for all of our artists, they're all shared. And, you know, occasionally, you know, you call somebody up and say, hey, man, I'm, you know, really kind of stuck. right here. I need to go from, you know, point A to point B, but I got to fill this date off in between. Do you have any ideas that maybe I'm not looking at, you know, things like that? Or, you know, one of us will see an avail for a support slot. We'll forward it off and say, hey, you know what? I was thinking so-and-so would be great for this. Maybe you didn't think about it. Because, you know, we have a number of clients, like the one I brought up earlier, for example, the Native Howl. You know, they work in the metal world. They work in the punk world. They work in, you know, like the outlaw country world. There's so many different routes you could go with a band like that. So sometimes when you see something pop up, it might not always come to mind right away. And, you know, one of us be like, hey, you know, this would be great for, you know, whoever it is and things like that. But for the most part, I mean, I book my tours, my partner books his tours, Alex, you know, works on his stuff. So we're fairly independent, but we do have that team factor of, you know, always, you know, willing to help each other out, of course.
So I have a question about looking into the future, because I know that we talked a little bit in the first half about, live music has pretty much stopped and there's nothing that we could do about it. But I'm curious about what you think the rebuilding process is going to be once things do start to open back up. It's at least I believe that it's going to be a very, very different layout and a different environment, because, you know, places are going to close down. Bands are going to stop touring and a lot more people are going to be reluctant to see shows. So can you talk, like, in your opinion, what do you think that rebuild is going to be and where do we start?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to take a very long time, and obviously when there's a vaccine, that'll make things easier. But even when that comes along, it's still going to be, you know, at least 3 to 6 months after that until things can remotely go back to normal. But, you know, I think it's just going to be, you know, taking it one step at a time. And whether that's, you know, I'm sure that a lot of venues, when they open up, that's going to be diminished capacities, you know, whether it's 25% or 50% or whatever it is, obviously wearing face masks and all that kind of stuff. I keep seeing a lot of talk about drive-in concerts. And, to me, that's an interesting concept. And I think it works for certain types of acts. I don't think it works across the board. You know, I'm not sure how cool it would be going to see, you know, Slipknot or something and sitting in your car. It's going to take a long time. And I think everybody's got to work together. And, you know, everybody right now, especially, you just go online and everybody's just kind of shitting on each other. And if you have a different opinion, it's like, oh, well, fuck you, because this is how it's going. You know, I know how it's going to go. But it's going to take a really long time. And honestly, it makes me nervous booking things for spring of 2021. I mean, this is a terrible time for the music industry, but, we will get through it at some point. I think things will go back to normal, in a few years.
As an artist manager as well, booking on hypotheticals, because there still haven't been any shows yet they're booking. I would feel much better, you know, having actually something happen and then shows happen consequently. You know, it's just, everyone's just,
well,
like,
you know, they're,
no, tell
they're
me,
they're doing a show. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I want to hear it from you. This is Waldman's words, but this is that we would not have a show if it wasn't for you. So.
I'm not sure if you guys seen that article. I guess there's I think it's like a country show or something going on like today or tomorrow in Arkansas, I believe. Did you guys see that?
No, yeah. But it's in Arkansas, yeah. So I can see why it's happening.
Well, I'm curious to see how that goes. I think I don't have the specifics in front of me, but I believe it's like an 1,100 or 1,200 cap theater, and they put like the seating chart out to show how it's broken up. But I think like they're selling up to like 229 tickets, and obviously everybody's really spaced out, and you can only buy like multiple tickets if it's like a family or, you know, people that have been, I guess, social distancing together, things like that. So I'm curious to see how that goes. but I believe they still have like a stay-at-home order or something that lasts until like Monday. So I'm not even sure if the show will be able to play out tomorrow, but I am very curious to see how that goes, because that, as far as I know, will be like the first live show that's on the books since all this went down. So I am very curious to see how that goes. But I think, you know, venues having restricted capacities, I think it works to a degree. But like we talked about, I think in the first segment, you know, these bands got to make money, and, you know, some of them, I think, you know, they understand, they just want to hit the road, and they'll take some lower money and things like that. But I'm just not sure, you know, how it's really going to go, because nobody has money right now. So the promoters are going to want to pay less, which means the bands are going to pay less. But
Purell
has. Oh, well, you know, I guess.
Purell, yeah. Well, and Scott toilet paper, which unfortunately
Bounty
is not in my family. Yeah, Bounty, all of Jed Foose's investments, everything.
True.
Yeah.
Well, those were some good investments a couple months ago. But
let me tell you something.
No, you know, I just, you know, the fans aren't going to have money either. So even when shows are allowed to happen,
right?
You know, personally, I'd love to go see a show right now, but I'm not sure that the general population, I'm not sure that that's their number one priority is, oh, God, I got to go see a show. You know, so it's going to take a while.
Yeah, it's the economics of it, right? The first thing I'm spending money on when I'm back, where is the concert ticket on that list? And then where is merch on that list?
Exactly. And I, you know, I think a lot of bands are doing well. They are getting very creative with merch. And so that's helping them out. I mean, I think Nothing More, they put out that shirt that, you know, this is the time to stay at home or whatever, and had all the dates on the back and said stay at home. That was pretty cool. Obviously the masks and all that stuff. So, you know, I think everybody is you know, everybody's trying to get accustomed to how things are and trying to find new and creative ways to make money, which is great. But, you know, at some point, going to have to go back out and hit the road. But that's probably a long time coming. And it's certainly going to be a long time till you're able to get paid what you were able to get paid, you know, 6 months ago, even, you know, 3 months ago, for that matter.
What do you think about virtual concerts? Especially as like an agent too, how do you feel, like, do you think people are going to continue to start doing virtual things even after stay-at-home orders are lifted? And also like the creativity behind it, because people are doing it in Fortnite. I saw someone ask about doing it in Animal Crossing, which is impossible, but how do you feel about those?
You're so obsessed with that freaking thing.
I love Animal Crossing. If I could do a whole show about it, I would.
Oh, we're doing a whole separate show after this.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Animal Crossing.
I'm really bummed. I'm really bummed I don't have a Switch, because that's all everybody's talking about. And, you know, back in the day, I used to love playing Animal Crossing. I do not have a Switch, so I can't relate. Not yet. I might have to get one. But, no, you know, I think, what was it? Was it Travis Scott or whatever in Fortnite?
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's a cool concept. But I think it's cool because it's never been done before. I think at some point, things like that, you know, it's going to be like, you know, whatever. There was just one last week, you know, if they keep happening. But as far as like virtual concerts, you know, I've not watched any. You know, I've seen a lot of videos, you know, I think it was like 10 years or something, and they covered like a Deftones song, whatever. And, you know, it was all on Zoom or whatever. But, you know, like, that was cool. I have not seen a full-on virtual concert. And I'm a really big Steel Panther fan, and I saw that they're doing one. I would want to check something like that out to see how it goes. But, you know, and it's a cool and interesting concept, I guess. But at the same time, you can just go on YouTube and for free and look up practically any concert you want. So I'm just not sure that it's. You know, it's cool, I guess, if you're, you know, a diehard fan of whoever it is that's doing it. But, you know, I don't think it's going to make up for the lack of, you know, you don't have that. A lot of, you know, to me, going to a show is a lot more than just watching the band. It's just, you know, being around everybody that's so passionate about the band and mm-hmm. just the energy that's in the room. You know, and things like that. It's a lot more fun to drink beer at a venue and watch a band than sit on your couch, watch YouTube and drink a beer.
As fun as it is to sit on your couch and drink beer, I think you're touching on something that people have said about the drive-in concerts, which is that it's a cool idea, but you can't have a mosh pit because that would be very violent.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have a mosh pit. And I mean, it's interesting. You know, I think it'd be cool to do it a couple times, but, you know, I'm not sure how well it's really going to, you know, it's an interesting concept. But, a lot of concert tickets, too, are people traveling. And I just don't see anybody traveling, you know, even 3 hours away to go to a drive-in concert. You know, so, I mean, that's just my opinion, you know.
No, I think you're right, sadly. I wish you weren't. But, I mean, it's crazy because it was always kind of like a trickle-down economics type theorem in the music industry where, like, the Lady Gagas and the Madonnas of the world have a lot of the money, and even some of the major label bands are below the poverty line. So it's way harder for a breaking artist to get through. So what advice would you have for someone who's trying to, and have you gotten any new clients during this time?
I don't think I've really picked anybody up during all this, you know, but I'm also not necessarily, I mean, I'm always looking, but I'm not spending a lot of time on it right now. You know, because money is tight, so I actually started eBaying to make some money, which has been working out pretty well. But, you know, no, I haven't. I don't think I've picked up anybody new since this started. But in terms of advice, are you saying for, you know, this, you know, time period that we're in right now or just in general?
Say that again.
When you said about the advice, are you asking for, you know, specifically like with everything that's going on or just advice in general? If it's
For advice during this dark time, like for, you know, I'm sure you've spoken to young kids and bands, like a band coming out of independence right now, like what would you advise them to do? Because it's a completely new market, or you could say a new metal market.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, more than ever right now, everybody's on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, you know, nonstop right now. You know, so to me, now's a great time to put out a video, drop a new song, whatever, and you'll probably get more eyes and ears on it because everybody is. I mean, things are starting to open back up, don't get me wrong, but, you know, a lot of people are still home and just watching YouTube all day. You know, things like that and just getting creative with it and, you know, having creative merch that's interesting, that speaks to what's going on right now, you know, things like that. But, you know, a lot of it to me is, you know, you got to hit the road and obviously that can't happen, but, you know, maybe try to get, you know, put some videos up and try to get some steam going. And then, you know, a band like that, they could try their hand at the virtual concert and see if they can make, you know, however, you know, just do, you know, like a tip jar type deal online where, you know, I don't think a developing band trying to grow could really command any sort of ticket price for a virtual concert. But, you know, you just do one of those donation things where you just throw in, you know, however much money you want and, you know, watch some things. But, you know, to me, streaming right now is how you're going to get your name out there. Facebook Live and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hell, we're at home watching YouTube all day. All I'm doing is watching music, so.
All I do is watch YouTube.
That's true. My live stream of me watching things. You know what? Shoot, man, we're having so much fun on this show. It's just flying right by, and we're already getting near the end. I wanted to pivot one final time. You've been giving so much good advice and real information on a serious subject. I was going to pivot hard and make you talk about your hobby that you picked up. Now, I think you spoiled it for us a little bit. I was going to make us all guess what hobby you had picked up and how it was making you money. My guess was not an OnlyFans account. I mean, you're a handsome dude and all, but it takes some stomach, you know?
Well, you know, it's certainly something that that I have considered. But
when you do, we'll have some muck to rake.
Oh yeah, baby's got to eat, right?
Damn right.
Hey, people like their feet pictures, so you know it's coming, man. It's coming.
My wife hates feet. Anyway, continue.
All right. Well, you already don't have that subscriber.
That's one down.
One down. That's all right. I'll find more.
But no, it is important now to like try and pick up hobbies, especially ones that could be side hustles and make a little money.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, this eBay thing, I've been kind of wanting to do it for a little bit now. So, you know, kind of worked to my benefit to a degree, I guess, that all this is going on, because I probably wouldn't have dived in here. But yeah, you know, it's working out. It's just, you know, you got to really know what you're doing and know what you're buying. You know, things just started opening up here in Ohio yesterday. So I immediately hit a couple thrift stores and you know, found some good pickups and things like that to flip. But, you know, that going back to the YouTube thing, I mean, you got to watch I watched a lot of videos of, you know, guys that do that and make a lot of money, but, it's a lot to learn, but, you know, that's working out and it is a nice change of pace. Obviously music is my life, but, it is nice to have a hobby, that's totally separate from that. And, you know, has nothing to do with it. Cause you know, sometimes, as I'm sure we can all relate, you know, sometimes it gets a little much, and you know, sometimes I miss, you know, the magic of a concert. And I when you start going to so many shows, for me personally, you know, I just kind of get burnt out on it, and so it is nice to have a little bit of a break and do something separate.
Hey man, here's to the future. The first thing we do when we're back, I'm going to buy you a beer and then spill it on you in the mosh pit.
Damn right.
Can't wait. It's been way too long.
Buddy, I'm so set. We've hit the end of our show. I think Emily's about to wrap us out.
Hey, yeah, man, I was just going to say. Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you, look you up, keep updated with what you're doing?
So you can find Satellite Touring on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Satellite Touring. I think Twitter is at Satellite Tours, because I don't think it would let me, I think there's a character limit, but Satellite Touring, Satellite Tours on Twitter. And then you find me on Facebook or on Instagram at Mr. CMFC. So it's MRCMFC on Instagram and Twitter.
Dope.
Awesome. Well, you can find Waldman's Words everywhere at Waldman's Words. Thank you, Logan, again for coming on and talking with us during a pandemic. And you could listen to the show live every single Tuesday, which hopefully you are doing right now, at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Or you can listen to this episode and any episode we did before that anytime that you want on Spotify, iTunes, Adobe.com, and your Amazon Alexa. Just ask Alexa to enable Adobe Radio. And you could listen to this episode with Logan whenever you want to, anywhere in your home, depending if your Alexa's in there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Logan Crossland, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Love you, man. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you guys.